Veritas Wealth is an independent financial planning business focused on managing wealth. In this series, we share hard-earned insights gained through years of experience at the cutting edge of financial planning.
One of the most human experiences we share is to wonder about, you know, what our lives might look like if an element were different, from living in a different country to having stronger relationships, and most often, what would I do if I had more money? So if you had your life over, what would you do differently? And this is basically the title of the article that's up on the Veritas website right now. Cole, welcome to the studio. It's good to have you here.
Thanks, Sean.
I don't know that I should ask you what you would do differently yet, but maybe you've got some things that you would be doing differently. We've never had a conversation before, though, so I don't know anything about you. So for me to assume that you don't want to change anything is really presumptuous of me. Cole, how long have you been with Veritas?
Probably about 2.5 years. I started in Jan 2023. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so going on 3 years at the moment.
What does life look like for you right now?
Currently, also got married in 2023 in November, so recently newly married, which has been great so far. And we bought our house together in 2018. We've been together for a long time, so I think 11 years now. So kind of straight out of school, we got together and stuck it out.
Yeah.
We have done some renovations to the house in the past, which is great. I think we're kind of in that phase where you get married and you've got a house and bigger expenses start coming along, and at the moment, currently in that phase of when do we start planning to have kids and start a family, that type of thing. So that is on the cards at the moment.
Yeah,
I guess that's kind of where we're at.
And judging by the article that you've written, you're a fan of being on a bicycle. You're a cyclist.
Yeah. So for me, sport has been my whole life since I was at school, and that's what I excelled at. So I try to carry it on going through different forms of life, I guess. And I had some operations at school, which I can't really do any running. So that's when I picked up cycling, because it doesn't impact the operations that I had. And yeah, I cycle probably 4 or 5 times a week at the moment. So I do cycle a lot.
It feels like we should be writing an article now for LinkedIn that starts with the 5 things I learned about leadership through being on a bicycle, you know, it's very, very, but it's almost like a trope like that goes on in LinkedIn at the moment. But you have managed to glean some lessons from the group that you cycle with, which I'm assuming range in ages and the diversity of the group of guys that you cycle with. What does that look like?
Yeah, so every Saturday or Sunday, the group gets together for 2 different rides, a longer ride on a Saturday and a more chilled coffee and croissant type of ride on the Sunday morning.
Nice.
And the group, it can range on any Saturday from maybe 5 people to sometimes 40-odd people. So the variety or different walks of life that join that ride are really diverse. Some younger guys like myself, and then range up to late 70s, 80s even, and from all walks of life, some widows, some businessmen, entrepreneurs.
And you find that they share pearls of wisdom while you're out there? I mean, maybe more the Sunday pastry and coffee rides, maybe more deeper conversations tend to happen?
Yeah, definitely. And I think when I walked in the studio, you actually were speaking about you often don't get to take in views when you're doing faster rides, which is definitely true. So on the more social rides, we tend to chat more. And that's kind of where this article came along when we were going through our usual Saturday route is past Cape Point, Scarborough, Misty Cliffs, that side of the thing. And I was just chatting to some of the guys, and we picked up on topics that I thought was very interesting to share with our followers, I guess.
Yeah. Won't you share with me then one of the things that you might have learned? If we take 5 lessons, potentially, we've said we could write this as a trope for LinkedIn posts. But if we were to break it down into 5 lessons of things that people might change further down their lives, anything speaks to you immediately?
Something that's not only come up in riding groups, but also maybe if I look back when I was at school and some parents of friends that I had, but specifically some of the guys in the group, very successful businessmen, traveling 2-3 times a week, and then the more successful guys going overseas relatively often, is not always being able to see their kids or their children grow up and missing certain milestones. And I think that can, obviously I can't speak to that yet because I don't have kids yet, but me being a family guy, that's something I don't really want to have to sacrifice.
This is almost like a looking glass, looking into the future and going, okay, if I can learn that from this person now and apply it to my life, you being coal. Me, on the other hand, I might wish I had a magic button to try and reverse some decisions along the way. What else is? I mean, I suppose you could almost look at these as some form of regrets, I suppose. But I like the idea of, you know, being able to live your life differently. What else are the suggestions that came up?
Yeah, well, I think I like the thing that you said is applying life lessons from others to your own life, and I think that's a, I mean, it's not easy, but it's a way to try live a happy lifestyle in any way. And something else which came up was, is like in my age group, our parents are always saying make time to travel because life gets so busy later, you're not going to have the time. And that was one which came up a lot, is that in their younger years, maybe varsity or leading up just before kids, is they all wanted to go to Europe or go to maybe take their kids to Disneyland or something, and that was put off. And health issues came up, or kids started getting a busier lifestyle that they actually can't, either don't have time to do it or they possibly can't afford to do it. And often that never ends up happening, which is quite sad.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I can also speak into that in the sense that if you're running your own enterprise of any form, shape, size, small business, medium, large, you often feel like if you're not there and doing it, it's not going to succeed. And there's a badge of honor that comes with working all the time too.
Yeah.
So taking time to rest is an investment into your future in more ways than one, because it probably has health implications further down the line too. So, it sounds like the consensus that came out of the cycling group is pretty good thus far. What else do you have?
Yeah, and just maybe speaking to that same topic, I think just me personally relating everything to sport, and I can take a lot of lessons from sport and put it into business. I think also being someone who wants to achieving something in your career is that what you just said, working hard, putting in the long hours, making sure you sacrificing some of your personal life to achieve your career goals, I guess, or to provide for your family. And that's where you may come short with traveling or missing milestones or whatever it may be.
Yeah. Recently, I put on my email out of office that I was choosing rest as a strategy. And I got a response from a big banking firm that had emailed me. And they're like, I love this. I'm using it the next time I'm on leave. And I was like, actually, it is part of this strategy.
Yeah.
You really need to build it in. Otherwise, it's just go, go, go. And we collapse when we think we're retiring and going to have all this time to do nothing. We don't have the steam anymore. So
And you mentioned retiring now, and that's actually one of the other topics which came up in our discussions on our ride, is that a lot of people also start to look at their retirement much later on in their career, which sometimes it works out if you've got a very high earning salary or job. But for the vast majority, it's detrimental to your planning. And I think something where maybe I was fortunate enough to learn early on in my years was you always need to save, and you got to work for what you want, and you really got to put in the hours and saving from a young age. And I think that's where me being in my profession is great, because I understand the power of compound interest, but some people only may necessarily get to figure that out in their 40s or 50s, and then they've got 15 years left, where you need 20, 30 years, not 10, 15 years.
Yeah. Is there ever a stage that's too early to start saving?
Probably not. I would say no. I think the trick with that is it's going to be hard to get someone to save or start investing at an early age.
Yeah.
I mean, if you speak to anyone who's 25, maybe to 35, kind of my life stage is like, for myself, I got married, I've bought a house, we're going on holiday. It's like you're paying off a bond, you got all these expenses you're trying to juggle, and incomes these days are not as big as, or maybe that's not the right word, but not as significant as they used to be, or life is more expensive, rents are higher, bonds are more expensive, food's more expensive. So your discretionary income is, meaning the money that you have at the end of the month to save, is a lot smaller.
Yeah.
So, it's very hard.
Yeah. And like you quite already say, if you're not earning all that much, it's very difficult to think that I need to put some away, because I need it right now to get through, which I suppose then leads into the power and the importance of doing some form of financial planning. I assume that came up somewhere in the conversation.
Yeah. And again, like I said, a lot of the guys that I was speaking to are quite a bit older than myself, so 50, 60, 70 even. And I think the financial planning industry had a bit of a bad rap back then with the insurance, with huge commissions and insurance salesmen and people kind of doing their own thing. It was like the Wild West. So a lot of them didn't actually have anyone who was professional helping them, guide them, put them on the right track, and I think more importantly, holding them accountable to their own financial planning.
Yeah.
So a lot of them, knowing what they know now and seeing how proper professional financial planning is done, is they kind of wish they had someone who could guide them and hold their hand along the journey.
Yeah, if I think about it, and going back to the title of the article, you know, if I could do my life differently, what would I do over? I might very well press that button just to have a financial plan.
Yeah.
Just one single thing, I think, could affect many other things further down the line, where I am, you know, in my early to mid to late 40s.
Somewhere in between.
Somewhere there, yeah. Well, I mean, it's all great stuff, I think. And like you quite already say, if we're looking back, it generally tends to look like, it's almost like it's obvious,
yeah,
right, when you're looking back. But when you're not looking back and you're looking forward, it's not necessarily top of mind.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think one which we haven't mentioned, which did come out a lot, is maybe you did mention it when you spoke about you taking leave and putting you out of office on in terms of rest as a strategy, is the work-life balance is extremely important. And I think that's something we as Veritas Wealth, in our planning process, speak about a lot with our clients. It's not just about the numbers and getting you to where you need to be. It's about enjoying the journey along the way as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's so important in financial planning, because a lot of people, especially younger people, struggle with, oh, I'm putting all my money away now for when I'm 50, 60, but now I've got nothing to spend, or I can't enjoy my life now, or I can't access that money, so what's the point? And I think that's where work-life balance comes in terms of have a plan, like you said, a financial plan which gets you on the right track, but also lets you enjoy your life now.
100%. And if we had to stay with the analogy of cycling and resting and being able to enjoy your life, I do hope the next time you come around these mountainsides, you do just look up for a second and take it all in, and then put your head down and then continue with the hard work, because it's going to pay off down the line. Thanks, Cole. Thanks for coming into the studio. I think we can definitely create a more balanced, prosperous future for ourselves and our loved ones by leaning into and learning from others close to us. So thanks for sharing.
Thank you for listening to the Veritas Wealth Podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with others and visit veritaswealth.co.za for more on managing your wealth. Veritas Wealth, real people, real conversations. A place where money and life meet.